This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
people know that I produce results, and I'm the only candidate that has 20 years of business experience and 10 years of political experience. And I'm the son of Doug Ford, used to be an MPP. I know how the provincial government works. Everything I've said in the last 10 years, I have done. Everything I'm saying in the next 4 years, I will do. I ask you one question before you mark your ballot on October 25th. Who do you trust with your hard-earned tax dollars?
Did you ever think when the hearse rolls by that someday you are going to die?
KLN listeners. It is Monday, the first day of November 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening with your host BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, a.k.a. Beach, a.k.a. Vijay Sharma. Whatever, man, whatever. Whatever makes it easier for you to process the information I have to offer, including a bit on Ford Watch, where we're here on the show. I'm sort of making it a point to say, you know what, Mr. Ford, you are our mayor now. Congratulations. What exactly did you say to get 383,000 people to vote for you? And how do we remember it? And how do we, you know, because it's important. Because check this out. I'm watching before the Jon Stewart rally to restore sanity the other day on the weekend. President Obama. Was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, notable pundit, most trusted man in America, place where most young people say they get their news. And so, for better or worse, he's got the job right now. And I got to tell you, I thought that Jon Stewart did a fairly good job of dressing Obama down. You know, it was jokes, but the jokes stung and hit home. And Obama was forced to resort to sort of talking over Stewart and having really long, you know, answers that didn't allow Stewart to jump in with his quick rapier wit. But initially, Stewart said, you know, are we the people we've been waiting for? Or, you know, did we lose their phone number? Should we call them? What's been going on? And Obama gave some very, very careful answers and says, you know, change we can believe in. I didn't mean in 18 months. Stewart says, you know, fundamentally, I think that there was an assumption that the corruption that was inherent in the system was something that you were going to deal with when you became president. That was something that was on a lot of people's minds. Not just, you know, because Stewart said that Obama's been working with the political process and, you know, kind of making deals with people, trying to build consensus, trying to make everybody happy. But not really tackling the underlying corruption that dominates Washington D.C. And Obama kind of spun that question away a bit, and then Stewart came back to it again, and then you know Obama just said it's going to take time, but at the same time you know Stewart was you know pretty light on him and not bringing up the war, and also not, you know, here's the point about corruption, and this is the point I'll make here. On CKLN Radio is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, Mondays and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. on CKLN Radio, 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm, online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. And that is, you can't, it's a lot harder to fight corruption without exposing the lies and the liars and the lies that are structurally designed, in the system. And so, you can have a bunch of optimistic rhetoric, but unless you expose the lies, well, it's hard to root out the corruption because corruption is based on lies. So, for all the Obama supporters out there, because I know there's something strange going on in the city. A buddy of mine told me the other day, he's had a little jam session, and he told me that he just noticed the map and how in the city it was all blue liberal Smitherman voters. and the 905s were all, you know, raging red Rob Ford voters. Thought that the split was fascinating, but keep in mind out there, for you liberal Torontonians who do happen to tune into CKLN and this show, unless you hold them to their promises, they just get sucked up by the system anyway. And so instead of, you know, getting ticked off that your guy didn't win and assuming that he's going to give you nothing, why not try and hold him to the promises that he made? That's the only thing that makes sense to me. It's the only thing that I could see, you know, as reasonable, in this day and age, is instead of saying the other guy won, we're screwed, but we hope things stay pretty much the same and don't get too much worse. Or you know, our guy won, we win, so we hope things get stay the same or maybe even get better. Why not actually try and hold these guys to some of the promises they've made? Because I got to tell you something with Ford. He's going to get attacked. You know, as I said on Thursday's show last week, and I'm got to bring it up again. It's at this stage, heading into 2011. You know, from Toronto 2012, baby, what's going on? I will talk about international issues and all sorts of fun stuff, but we got to actually deal with the political system. You know, I mean, Fritz Springmeier was just sprung from jail recently. For those of you out there who don't know Fritz Springmeier, he's a guy who decades ago, researched the bloodlines of the Illuminati and the Committee of 300 and how the power structure works and mind control techniques. And he documented this fairly well and was very well known. And for his efforts, he was apparently framed and has spent the last 7-8 years in jail. So, and here on the show, I do talk about the forces behind globalization as opposed to assuming globalization is a natural, you know, byproduct of better communication. We could have great communication and still keep control over our countries. I wouldn't mind. I'd take an iPod, iPad, internet. It's cool. We could text each other. I just want to go to a place that has a unique culture that is distinct and something that I could enjoy and that grows organically, as opposed to the global standard muck culture that's being created right now. So back to Fritz Springmeier. So I'm on Henry Macow, henrymacow.com. It's Henry Makow. Great place to check out, especially for information about relationships, because he does break down how we've been socialized to compete with each other instead of complement each other over the last 100 years or so. And so I'm going to go to this little thing where he shouts out his buddy Fritz Springmeier here. And where'd you go, Fritz? What? All right. This is going to be harder than I thought. Henry Macow. I have to spell Springmeier right. All right. Springmeier. There we go. Yeah. Go with the cachet. Aha, all right. A brief article on Fritz Springmeier, courtesy of Henry Macow, PhD, from henrymakow.com. Just because I respect him, interviewed him twice this year. Three times, actually, a few more times than that in total. And he did speak in Toronto recently at the Conspiracy Culture book and DVD store. I was elated to receive a letter today from my friend Fritz Springmeier informing that he's been transferred to a halfway house in the Portland area. He's there to find a job and accommodation, after which he will be released on probation for 5 years. Under the terms of his probation, he won't be able to do any political work, but he hopes to be able to teach people to, quote, make good decisions in the hard times ahead. He's able to work within a 100-mile radius of Portland, so he's banned from doing political work. Can you believe that? He can be reached at fasspringmeier@gmail.com. Fritz was imprisoned in February 2003 due to his research on the Illuminati and his work deprogramming victims of Illuminati mind control. And basically, if you folks out there aren't familiar with this topic, mind control is something that's been discussed. It was publicly exposed in the Church Committee hearings in the 70s. The CIA was doing experiments. A politician's wife who was experimented on at McGill University in Montreal was the woman who blew the whole thing open, because she came back to her Canadian politician husband, all wonky in the old noggin there, and he went nuts and went, "What the hell's going on?" and exposed the work of Dr. Ewan Cameron at McGill University, working for the CIA on the MK Ultra mind control, K being control in German. Probably because of Project Paperclip in World War II, where the U.S. government brought over a bunch of Nazis during World War II, supposedly to fight the to defect the Nazis and the Soviets. So you know, this stuff goes on, and even today, in the music industry, many people like Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus and all these other child stars and Justin Timberlake, the ones that came up through the Disney system. You know, there have been persuasive arguments made to say they're under mind control. And even footage of people like Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears, actually switching personalities. So there it is on mind control. There's a little rat-tat-tat-tat-tat just to lock the idea that there's more to look at when it comes to these issues. Look up the work of Kathy O'Brien for more on this as well. Kathy O'Brien. And just incredible stuff. So, his books, quote, and this is back to Dr. Macko, his books, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and, quote, the Illuminati formula used to create an undetectable total mind control slave, helped thousands learn about Illuminati control. Quote, there is a wave of positive divine energy creating a positive momentum to my release and to overcoming the difficulties in my path, Fritz wrote. I have a good case officer and a good probation officer, and this is a good halfway house. Fritz is still confined to the establishment and can only leave on supervised job hunting expeditions. He writes that many people opposed to the New World Order need to put their own lives in order. Quote, many are just news junkies, he writes. He foresees bad times and wonders if we are prepared spiritually. For example, if we are hungry, will we steal? So I bring this up in the context of the Rob Ford mayoral win and saying to Ford supporters, yo, stay on this project. If you're not on this project, the way they talk about your boy in the media is not good. Because you saw what happened before the election. They were downplaying it. They were saying he was in a tight race with Smitherman. Turned out that wasn't the case. And I do have a feeling they're going to attack him more to try and be a check on his influence at City Hall. Not because I think he's Mr. Superman, but I think he could be for real. Who knows? And I'm willing to at least help hold him to his statements. And for those on the other side of the aisle, the liberals, again, it's not about your guy winning or your guy not winning. It's about, as John Stewart said, restoring sanity. And part of that sanity is being sane enough to stay in touch with your local government to help them make the right decisions on behalf of you. And the people out there that know this stuff really well, as he says here, and this is Fritz Springmeier, again, veteran Illuminist researcher. He writes that many people opposed to the New World Order need to put their own lives in order. Quote, many are just news junkies, he writes. And so for people out there that know 9/11 is an inside job, you know, the chemtrails in the air are possibly geoengineering, but probably whatever that crap is when it lands on us, bad for us. The people that know that aspartame, you know, put in the late 70s, early 80s, in thousands of products now, is dumbing us down. People that know about fluoride in the water in this city and the disastrous effects it's having on thyroid conditions, bone density, causing more fractures, bone cancer, brain cancer, and making us apathetic. The people that know about all this should try and do something about it besides learn about it. Now, what does that mean? Well, the guys here, the bad guys, the New World Order types, they're you know, as Webster Tarpley said, they're basically finance oligarchs. Wall Street, Bay Street, London, you know, the major financial centers of the world are who they they make all their money off, you know, moving decimal points and paper. Beautiful scam. Good for them. What do we do? Well, as Webster Griffin Tarpley at tarpley.net, T-A-R-P-L-E-Y.net explains, they're like plants. You know, they operate on a form of tropism where they just do what they do. You know, plants just do what they do, and oligarchs just try and lower the living standards of the people that they rule over, take all their stuff, and possibly even kill them off if they think, you know, there's a culling of the herd needed. And so they try and manage this process. And so, you know, figuring out what they do, you know, you do it to get it, to have some faith in the decisions you make after you've done that. But after that, you know, just saying, oh, they're so evil, doesn't change anything. It's actually amusing. It's just, you know, we are in a psychological prison, not a physical one. You know, and the proof is in the putting it down. You know, I know I can walk around like a maniac, which I may actually do. You know, singing Bob Marley songs, you know, into a megaphone while wearing a sandwich board with some websites or something catchy on it. Just to go a little nutty here. And I know that it's the opposite of the way people looked at governments before. Before it was like, all right, we're going to take on the government. I need to get 100 men. Now instead of they're too powerful, it's the mind control is too powerful, because you can pretty much do whatever you want in this culture, you know, unless it's illegal or, you know, really immoral or really tasteless, and you get some flack for it. But when it comes to actually taking on, you know, the forces who you think, and, you know, you can translate it to corporate lobbyists or special interests or big money or our foreign, you know, creditors who own our national debt, whatever. You can pretty much say whatever the hell you want about them. And you're fine, you know, in this culture. Yeah, to a degree. You know, but no one knows what that degree is. Because the oligarchs and the people in charge of managing, you know, the Canadian branch of New World Order Incorporated, I think they have us by the cojones. They don't need to put up a bunch of troops everywhere. They got us drugged down. They got us eating GMO food. They got us defiantly saying we don't care. You know, defiantly saying we don't care, or everything's bad for you. And at the same time, defiantly running, you know, jogging to help, you know, stop people from getting cancer. And at the same time, the cancer charities are saying 40% of us are going to get cancer. Or no, cure cancer, sorry. Nothing about stopping getting cancer. Just the cure cancer thing. So that we got this little bind here where it's not even a question of, like, you know, the government has so many guns and so many weapons, and you saw the riot police at the G20. Well, yeah, well, don't protest. You know, the French are protesting. Good for them. But I would rather they not protest and they rather calmly and consistently share information. Because then, as I played a clip of on last Thursday's show from a French caller to the Alex Jones show, if they're protesting in a giant mass herd of people like that, then one of two things will happen. One, the bigger the herd gets, the more they'll be controlled by infiltrators, by professionals, by people that work with the network that give them enough publicity to get big. And so the Tea Party movement in America originally started off on good ideas: take on Wall Street, end the wars, you know, go to a stable, you know, currency that isn't run by a private U.S. Federal Reserve Bank. That basically dictates all their policy, along with think tanks and others, as part of their, you know, hidden internationalist globalist agenda. Now the founder of the Tea Party calls them all fools, because it always turns back to, you know, guns, God, and gays. And you know, they get polarized and duped. You know, and if that's the Tea Party. And then you got all the groups on the left. And then you got all the groups and the anti-war groups here in Toronto that still won't look into 9/11 and wonder why their numbers get smaller and smaller every year. You know, as people, you know, don't take them seriously because they're not taking what they say they're taking seriously, like, enough to even look into it. Like, if you can look into it and come up with a convincing explanation, fine. But if you refuse to look into the truth about 9/11, you really don't care about the war and stopping the war and the power structure behind this that's, you know, impoverishing, dehumanizing, dumbing down, retarding, and murdering people worldwide, including us here, you know, albeit a little slower. That's what will happen is you'll get controlled by some leader that'll get you all, you know, even the rally to restore sanity and our fear, you know, on Saturday. You know, there's 150, 200,000 people there. And they went there because they wanted to feel part of something. But at the end of that, it's over. You go back and you say, I was part of something cool. It's like, you know, 10 million people say they were at Woodstock, even though there's probably, you know, what, 500,000 there or whatever. You know, it's cool to say you were part of this. You know, and so that is part of, you know, kind of our social scientific indoctrination. You know, to prefer that to thinking of ways to influence your local political system to give you, you know, specific breaks. And this is for everybody. We're late in 2010 here. First 3 months were problems. Next 3 months were reactions. Last six have been solutions, including the ones on my website at whatyouwantabelievein.com. For the campaign, I recently ran for mayor where I got over 2,000 votes and a mandate for myself and others to keep working on these issues. Because the problem isn't information. The problem isn't the news. You know, it's been explained to you before. It doesn't matter. You know, I got friends, their wives are going and getting vaccinated. Even though for the flu shot, combined with the H1N1 shot that's out there this year. And I did a ton of work. My colleagues and I, Toronto Truth Seekers, did a ton of work on that last year. You know, nobody in Toronto should ever get shot again, you know, for the, you know, 50 to 100,000, you know, flyers and DVDs that we put out. And presents, if they checked into it, you know, if they wondered why, you know, 10, 15, 20 people were doing that. You know, be it on the streets and making a presence known, warning people about this. And in France, only 6% of them took the H1N1 shot, whereas in Canada, about 30% of us did. So, tying this all back in to Mayor Ford and the campaign and his you know, huge, successful team of volunteers and everybody in this city. Oligarchs do what they do. Rich, evil people do what they do. They always do what they do. They've acted like this. You know, Thomas Malthus, the whole idea of food will outstrip, or population outstrip food. It's all discredited stuff, even the Darwinian notions, you know, of survival of the fittest and all that. There's a bunch of holes in that. And it's really used to, you know, get us to, you know, crab bucket each other and go at each other's throats. So that's them. And then their minions. The people that work for the organizations they control. Well, people say, you know, politicians lie. Why don't they tell the truth? Well, they don't most of the time, and they won't most of the time, unless we insist on it. The media. Oh, the media lies. Oh, the media lies. Oh, the media lies. Well, look, there is rare mainstream news that's reported but not repeated that you can find at websites like Infowars.com and others. Who collect them, that you know, often reveal good chunks of the truth in there. It's just that when it is a good article or a good story, the rest of the corporate media doesn't pick up on it. They're like, oh, they got it. You know, there it is. We'll not make a big deal out of it for some mysterious reason, even though it's really juicy. And so that's the media. And then, you know, what can you do? Well, you know what? There's lots of things you can do. And saying what you can do is mind control. Because it's not like there aren't things that are being done by humans that we could do. And so, you know, here we are, you know, on the cusp of 2011, on the cusp of a road to 2012, which is promised to be rocky, austerity measures sending the French people into the streets. And we don't hear much about that, you know. So what can you do? What, change your information streams, you know. Go to a website like Infowars.com where you can get, you know, a steady, consistent stream of serious stories for, you know, half an hour, an hour. And you can train your brain to stay there as opposed to, you know, checking out a Metro or a regular paper where they mix in sex and sizzle and serious and, you know, some really, really crazy, depressing stuff, too. Omar Khadr under Obama just got jacked with 40 years, going to do 8 years or something like that. Saw on the cover of The 24 paper, you know, walk in here. Omar Khadr to serve 8 years. I'm at thestar.com. I'm also here at the looking at the Toronto Metro here, at the magical Toronto Metro. All right, and again, let's compare this to Infowars.com. All right, we'll just do a straight up. And there's a million things you can do, and there's a text, and there's a Twitter, and there's a YouTube comments into nowhere. You know, you check out a YouTube page. It is surreal. It is bizarre. The things we're doing are bizarre. They're twisted. You know, just random comments to nobody. Random yelling to nobody out there. You know, arguing with strangers, you know, like that. Just putting, you know, filthy, just really pathetic. The way we're being encouraged to communicate is really pathetic. And that's that. Because it's crippling our ability to be interesting to each other and to be interesting ourselves and just spurring us more towards a desire to escape into technology. You know, and I'm not a Luddite, not anti-technology. It's just, if you check out a YouTube page and you check out the comments and you know, you can't see the point in writing them. You can't see the point in reading them, and you can't see much of a point to be made in the space allotted with, you know, with what people write. And YouTube's generous. Then you get to Twitter, and all the media is quoting Twitter, and, oh, yeah, we received this on Twitter last night. It was so good to see so-and-so together. She looked so pretty. It was so good. Just the most simple, banal crap, the most obvious crap. You know, this is part of the global scientific indoctrination into groupthink. You learn what you're supposed to say. And if you have more space to express your opinions, that might not happen as easy. But in the space that we got, you know, that we're encouraged to use, 140 characters on Twitter, it's insane the pablum that's out there. Now, you can still form an intelligent thought in 140 characters, but it's harder and it's just one. You can't string two or three together to make a point. And that's when we get into, you know, the Iraq war is about oil. It's like, what? No, it's about way more than that. And so on. So, anyway, I'm going to get back here to comparing Infowars.com to the cover of today's Metro. Worldwide food crisis looms as forecasters predict record high prices. ADHD misdiagnosed in nearly 1 million U.S. kids, say researchers. Bunch in Canada, too. Globe had a good story on that. Humans wearing sensors will soon be the backbone of mobile internet infrastructure. Anatomist sells body parts online. IMF tax tribunals coming to America. Yemen insists no packages sent 48 hours prior to toner bomb hysteria. That's right. Had a big hysteria about something that wasn't a bomb, saying it could have been a bomb and we could have been more hysterical. Just absolute insanity. You know, going on out there in our media. Barry may not run in 2012. Does it matter? That's Barack Obama. TSA to phase in new pat-down procedures at the airport as a result of the, you know, the fake bomb scare. Jesse Ventura calls for a new 9/11 investigation, challenges the media. Military wants to scan communication to find internal threats. Am I saying this to scare you? No. But I'm just letting you know that you can get a steady diet of this to get your mind right and to be able to handle a narrative where you can make sense of these, you know, disparate things and connect them to a larger agenda. But if you go to the Metro here, as I'm on the Metro here, it says here, twins seeking celeb connection scene. What? Yeah. And it's got a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker here. From Sex and the City, blonde, milky, hot actress. Stressing the small screen, new tech, same conundrum. And again, I guess some little, you know, who the hell knows. But either way, it's beautiful. Three beautiful blonde women at the top of this thing. And then we hit the next royal flush, play poker today. And again, this is November 1st, 2010, today's Metro Subway Transit newspaper. Here in Toronto and worldwide, the world's largest international newspaper. So you can tell these guys have a hand in how we're supposed to be living. And then right below that, last stop for the gravy train. Capital budget items that Ford, as counselor, unsuccessfully tried to remove include $1.2 million for City's 311 helpline, $44.7 million for future bike network expansion, $28.1 million pegged for civic improvement places. All right, I don't know how they're going to spin this, is good or bad, but one of Rob Ford's first big tasks as mayor will be passing a capital budget currently full of projects he's tried to kill. Among them will be the glass-walled $88 million waterfront arena with four stacked ice pads, approved in principle by council in late August, even though only $34 million funding from Ottawa and tied to its waterfront location has been found. Quote, "We shouldn't be in the business of building hockey arenas. Why doesn't the private sector come in and build this?" Ford told the Star at the time, suggesting the project could be in serious trouble if he was elected. Quote, "We have to stop the wasteful spending. The gravy train has to come to an end." So here it is. We are seeing some signs of hacking away at the gravy train. Keep in mind out there, folks, though, that, you know, waste is often theft. And although Mr. Ford is doing a great job in not saying that and getting shut out of the conversation in his sphere, it is worth noting. On that note, something else worth noting was Randy and Evie Quaid, two Hollywood actors seeking safety here in Canada from Hollywood star whackers. This is from the Canadian Press, a little video snippet you're going to hear the audio of. Let me know what you think.
This is beautiful. I haven't seen the sun in a week.
So we thought, well, gosh, this is great. Maybe, you know, we should think about setting up a life here. Is that not, you know, full-time, temporarily? We had that in our sights, and we didn't even think about immigration being an issue. We looked at coming to Vancouver as basically just, you know, going across the street. I've worked up here in Canada for years and done countless movies in Vancouver. I've done three or four.
In the process of doing her eligibility hearing for her refugee claim, some of the information that she gave us led to us to believe that she is possibly a Canadian citizen. We contacted her father. He forwarded us documentation that confirms that she is a Canadian citizen. So they withdrew all the proceedings, and she can live here, she can work here. She's one of us.
We were coming up for a few days, going to check out the idea of living here, and then what I call the fraudulent group of criminals pursuing us.
There's issues back home that we're dealing with.
But Catherine doesn't want us to refer to it.
We are being persecuted in some way, but in a very great extent. It's very terrifying. We have a few more options at our disposal now as a result of what came to light today with Evie's citizenship. And we're going to digest everything and just, take a couple of days to, like, sleep on it.
The Canadian Press.
And we're back, folks. Again, why did I play that clip of Randy Quaid and his wife Evie Quaid and their attempts to come to Canada? And what was she talking about with those unsavory types? Well, she was a bit more forthcoming in previous interviews and in court. And again, these are Hollywood actors Randy and Dennis Quaid. Randy Quaid's the actor and his wife is Evie Quaid. Says here, and this is again from Yahoo News on the 27th of October, 2010. There's a previous article last Friday. The pair later appeared in an immigration hearing in which they requested refugee status based on their belief that they were being persecuted by, quote, Hollywood star whackers, as they put it, and that their lives were in danger. And that was the thing. She said that they'd been persecuted for about 20 years. And further on in the article here, last week, Evie Quaid, 47, begged a Canadian immigration adjudicator to allow the couple to stay in Canada, saying she feared for her 60-year-old husband's life after some of her friends, like actors David Carradine and Heath Ledger, had been, quote, murdered under mysterious circumstances. And there you go. So they are bringing the idea of the people behind Hollywood and our entertainment industry, into focus. Why is this important? Why am I not talking about how bad genetically modified foods are and how they cause 17 different types of cancer and so on and so forth? Well, because I've talked about that before, and I will talk about it again. But at a certain point, you got to figure out how do we talk about this stuff in general with other, you know, Canadian human beings. And I got to tell you, you know, one of the ways is through our appreciation of celebrity and Hollywood culture. And this is a catchy article. This article will get picked up. And if you try and bring up anything about GMO foods, fluoride, whatever, to someone, they might be dismissive, they might be supportive, they might be appreciative. You never know. Always worth a shot. But if you bring up something that is connected to, you know, celebrity, Hollywood, whatever, then it's not inappropriate to bring up, especially if it was in the mainstream news, and if it can reveal the bigger picture and the idea of, you know, a bigger corrupt controlling mechanism that manages our culture, then it can help wean people off their addiction to this culture, which is at times very toxic and very dangerous. And that would be ideal. That would be ideal. I'm not against this culture. I still like Jay-Z, fan of his, even though he's a Mason. But I do adjust my my affections for him, and I refuse to accept the idea that people can just jump up and down and go, la, 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 I want to believe whatever I want, as has been happening, you know, for the last few years. Because it's dangerous. Because we are being turned into kids, because our retro culture is doing this. I mean, if you're playing with G.I. Joes, like when you were an eight-year-old, then you're going to flash back to that time in a pretty serious way. On that note, I want to take you to another clip of Rob Ford. If I can, will it appear? And talking about subsidized housing versus government housing, and how. Here we go.
What we should do? Interest rates are so low right now. People are buying. They're buying condos. You drive in here, just along Lawrence Avenue, for example, bachelor, one bedroom, two bedroom. There's so many private apartment buildings, private owners that are begging for tenants. Let's subsidize their rent and help these people out instead of building more government housing. We can't even take care of our existing stock. I represent an area that has a lot of government housing up in Rexdale. I coach high school football at Don Bosco. Most of the kids, a lot of the kids, live in government housing. I see the poverty firsthand. I get these kids. They're in gangs. I get them out of gangs, get them on into a school, give them a sport they love to play, football, and they get an education. And they're the first ones to say, coach, I don't like living where I'm living. You know, so with these type of people, let's get them subsidies. You look at shelter support and housing. 10 years ago, we spent $150 million on shelter support and housing. Now we spend $250 million, and the problem's worse. We're throwing money, more money at it, and we're not improving the situation. You look at the Peter Street shelter. We budgeted $5 million for the Peter Street shelter. Now we're up over $11.5 million for a 40-bed shelter. You do the math, that's $275,000 per bed for one homeless person. You can buy a condo for that price for them. Thank you very much.
Come and have a drink with us. We're having a big celebration. Tequila para todos.
And that's right. Whoever's charging us $275,000 per shelter bed, and those places are pretty crappy. I used to work in the homeless industry, is having a good party at our expense. So how does this tie all into celebrity and through the whole theme of the show? Well, oligarchs do what they do. Everyone at their job does what they do. But what do we do? That's the only thing that's going to determine this. What do we do? And how do we react individually to this? Because at the end of the day, we're being taught how to complain, how to normalize complaining. And, oh, this sucks. What can you do? And ask all these crazy, insane rhetorical questions. Like, what can you do? You know, what can we do? What can you do? Like, and if you're being screwed, if you're being punched in the face, you don't ask that question. You figure it out. And if you're in a democracy with a system that is supposed to work really well for us, like it's supposed to, right? You know, we vote representatives who represent us, and they're open to our concerns. Then all we have to do is use it. Now, if we don't use it, someone else uses it. But it's not even like we don't have a system in place that we can leverage. We do. We very much do. We have a system in place, a democratic system here, democratic governments at the city, provincial, and federal level that we can apply pressure to. But how? As individuals, no. It's going to take some combination of us figuring out how to talk to us until we know what's going on about something, and then asking our politicians to get it for us. And we can do that. It's not like we can't do that. It's not like we don't have to take to the streets and jump up and down and yell and act all crazy. We just need to be able to talk to each other. And if not talk to each other because we don't have the knowledge base that each other has, you know, unless it's something, you know, common or general, to share info with each other until, you know, we get the idea that each other is serious and we take the info seriously. Because at this time in history, we are being socialized to turn into children. Again, the retro culture turning us into kids, the TV shows we mimic, you know, the most popular Halloween costume in the States, probably, you know, possibly here too, Jersey Shore or Snooki, and you know, there was a 6,000-person zombie walk last Saturday here. We're being encouraged. In the States, it's worse economically, and they do interviews. People are like, yeah, you know what, I just determined to play as much as possible. Like, I don't even want to think about that stuff. And if they get us, if the oligarchs, the financial oligarchs who, again, the new world order, the forces behind globalization, really the old world order, looking to sort of solidify their control over us forever, if they get their way with you know, this scientific indoctrination, then, you know, within a year or 2 years, we won't even be able to hear anything like this. We're probably getting close now to the idea of this, you know, not being something discussed. But you can go out there. You can Google, you know, New World Order, you know, conspiracy theory, globalization. You know, there aren't many plans to galvanize locals to pressure the elected officials who are supposed to represent them. That conversation doesn't happen very often. You know, and it should, because just rallying, just getting together and cheering, just you know, all that sort of thing, it doesn't work. It's gotten us to this point so far. And so that's why before the G20, I was warning people about it. What are you going to do before the protest if you care about these issues? F a protest. Why I say F a protest. F you going to do before this. Because it was important. It was important for me to make sure that the city had a chance to evaluate that opinion. You know, if you're doing something and it's not working, should you just defend it?
I don't really care that I'm burning some bridges. We don't need no water, let it burn to the ground. Some might fear, some of them are superstitious, but my ear is to the ground. And I walk the streets down, 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 down.
It's not the same old story. It's not the same.
Most of us have probably forgotten about the elections already. You know, our collective memory span is around 3 days for a big event. G20 martial law, 3 days. The elections, 3 days. Within 3 days, the media can move us off these topics. I've seen this happen conversationally. I've talked to people about this before. And it's amazing how quickly they can steer us, you know, away from what we could use. Practical things we could use, you know, and get us used to the idea that we need more and more charities. That's a funny thing, you know, and it's a game out there, and this is just, these are just, if none of this stuff makes sense, don't worry about it. But if it does, then, you know, worry about it and help someone else worry about it so we can move on to the things that make more sense here. But there's a certain defeatist attitude that comes with supporting a lot of the sort of the mainline solutions that are out there. You know, we're going to get cancer, so we should run for a cure. They're going to starve, so we should try and get them a sandwich. You know, they're going to be homeless, and so, you know, we should try and get them beds. You know, there's going to be poor people, so we should build government housing. And all of this is based on the idea of us ignoring the people who really pull the strings, or accepting that they exist, but assuming that they'll always be there and that there's nothing we can do about it, and thus not learning more about their plans. And that is the cardinal sin that is made so often in so many places, and it is what is leading to the stealth attack, the soft kill attack on our minds, bodies, and souls, and our morals, and our values, and so on, which is why we got to do a few things to restore them. All right, but that's my rant. I haven't been on air, you know, in a couple months, and I did a fairly straight-up show last Thursday on the election, and today I was just in the mood to just sort of go off, because ultimately, again, as Fritz Springmeier, veteran New World Order researcher, said, we can't just be news junkies in this game. Omar Khadr getting an 8-year sentence after the kangaroo court at Guantanamo Bay. And again, this is under the Obama administration. Will he get the appropriate criticism for it? You know, it's important to figure that out here. Canadian war criminal Omar Khadr deserves to serve more than 40 years behind bars for war crimes. Military jury decided yesterday, but their decision was overruled by a pretrial agreement that capped his sentence at 80 years. Okay. So they were being nice. We should have given you 40 years after sticking you in a hole for, you know, 8 and basically making a trial impossible. You know, the incident took place in Afghanistan 8 years ago, so whatever sort of physical evidence was there is probably missing. Enough of this and that. I'm going to let you go. The People's DJ David James is here to take you on a 4-hour jazz experience. You will not forget. A brilliant DJ in his own right and in Toronto. So do stick around for the next 4 hours. I don't know if I can make you love me, but I do know I can make you love the information you get at naturalnews.com. If everybody knew about Natural News, then 40% of us wouldn't get cancer. So that's one great place I recommend. Pressfortruth.ca, local journalism company here in Toronto. Check them out for sure, because they're doing some big, big things. TorontoTruthSeekers.com. Still on the streets every week. There's a truth conference coming up in February as well. Go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com for more details on that. Infowars.com, VigilantCitizen.com for celebrity news, VRAN.org for vaccine exemption forms. Look into the vaccine issue this flu season before you decide to get shot. I already know a couple people that are laid up sick from it. So worry not, folks. We got a great city. I'm just going off because I can go off, and the fact that I can go off in this city is, I don't think, a bad thing, on the whole. I think we should all have the freedom. We should all have the freedom to get angry about things that should make us angry, and then get happy about what we can do about it.
Your tongue is like a weapon. This is Kevin from heaven, and yes, so are ye. Since the age of 17, I've been taking part microphones. You've been taking part menu clone, and throwing skeleton bones in the closet. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between us. But you neo woman, glorious sign on diamond defeaters. Carry my fetus. I'm like the man in the moon when we kissed, and you flew on the run. On the run, the shadow with the sky. It's starting to make sense to me.